Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 66 of Forever Strength. Forgive my voice. I just came back from the Olympia weekend, coming off a sinus infection and kind of blew out my voice a little bit. So I'll try to minimize my talking, but we got to introduce our guest. So one of our members, Kayla Grammer, who's been amazing in our program, and a little bit about you. You've been a manager of a financial company for a while, but you also do personal training on the side, and you've been doing that for about 8 years. You have your own group strength program. And one of the things that we've said right from the get-go with our program is we wanted trainers to enjoy it, experience it. And if we've had several trainers ask if it was okay to come do it, to learn how we built it, we're like, absolutely. You know, if you guys can go and turn around and help more people and you take valuable stuff from this, even if you just do our program once, we're thrilled. It pays it forward. So it's great to have you on. And I know Bailey's got a whole bunch of questions teed up.
Awesome.
Yes. Same question as usual. What got you into fitness, Kayla?
Well, kind of a few different things. I did a few sporting activities in high school and junior high and just kind of fell off of that. Got into the married, had a kid and just kind of fell off of it. And all the way up until about my 29th birthday, I lacked self-confidence. I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like the way I felt. And I wanted to change. And so I've been inspired by my mom a lot in my life. She's always been a very active person. But I'm also competitive by nature too. So I took off with that by just doing a little bit of running here and there, starting to see some results after a few months, shedding some weight, losing some pounds. I really just wanted to feel better about myself. And it just progressed from there, from just running and meeting people and then joining some road races that we had locally here. Got to meet some other people, find out what kind of training styles they were doing to make them better runners. So I was taking different classes, a lot of like endurance type based classes. One of the classes introduced us to the weight equipment, which was totally intimidating, but, I still found it very, very, just inspiring. I traveled a lot for work, and I'm always looking for a gym to go to in different towns that I would travel to. I had a friend suggest to me to try out a CrossFit class. And so I did in a different town, knowing that I didn't know anybody. So I thought this would be the greatest way to kind of get my foot in the door. And I loved it. I loved the camaraderie. And I loved seeing these strong women. That was what was inspiring to me, to see a woman doing a pull-up. I never in my life imagined ever being able to do a pull-up. So I just kind of ran with it from there and did a lot of research over the years over different kinds of training. I tried them all out. And just when I found strength training, probably in about 2014, 2015, about the time I was doing CrossFit, I thought, how are these women getting so strong so fast? And I found, programs that were geared towards strength building. And so I would follow some of those programs and, just doing research and reading about nutrition and what we need to eat and fuel our bodies in order to build that muscle. And it just really took off from there. And that was when I was like, I need to share this feeling and this experience with other women. And I want other women to feel that sense of strength and self-confidence as I did. And so that's what led me to wanting to be a trainer and wanting to share that experience with women was because, you could have friends, that are into weightlifting, but I really thought, having an educational background and being able to tell them, this is why you need to do it. Not just do it, but this is why.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's funny you mentioned that you came from sports, because it sounds like one of the things that's really important to, keep you moving is community, which, team sports, stuff like that. And also being competitive, like just having those people around you to show you what's possible even. And so I guess that doesn't really come from a competitive thing, but yeah, and the inspiration. So what sort of moved you towards a little bit more strength and less so CrossFit-y type high intensity stuff?
The CrossFit gym that I was going to here in my hometown ended up closing. We had the owner had moved away, and the community that I had with it, you know, a few of us went to another gym and we continued to do similar, you know, types of workouts, although we weren't calling it CrossFit. And just so much with my schedule as far as traveling, I wasn't as consistent with it, but I knew I could be consistent with my strength training. I knew I could just put dumbbells, resistant bands in my truck when I was traveling. I didn't have to fly anywhere, so it was more driving, you know, so I could take equipment with me, or I could use a hotel gym, or I could find a local gym. And I've, you know, visited other CrossFit gyms, but one of the big things too is as we get older, some of the more high impact movements are really hard. And I have an injury to my lower back that the more jarring movement that I do, it just aggravates it. And so finding that I'm doing strength training around that, even, you know, my physical therapist has told me, you know, keep up the strength training part of it. The jarring movements, yeah, you're going to feel it. He's like, but keeping your core strength, especially your core strength stabilized around your spine, is what's really keeping you active and moving and going. So.
And so what was sort of the moving force to get you into our program?
Really, like, I have always been one to, like, I've planned my own workouts and have always structured them. But I feel like I, you know, kind of was hitting a plateau and doing kind of, you know, every 3 or 4 months, I would still change out my exercise and movements. But it was more of like a bodybuilder type split. So it was like legs one day, shoulders one day, chest one day, back one day. And I thought there's gotta be other combinations, other structures around that. Plus also, you know, being a personal trainer and looking for a good structure and a good solid system to help my clients as well. Like I said, having experience and knowledge, or having experience is one thing, but having knowledge and then telling people, like, these are other people that I'm following and they really know what they're talking about. They're educated as well. And gearing more towards, you know, programs that are designed around strength for women, and not so much aesthetic, you know. I think that's a thing that gets people into the gym is aesthetics at first. That's what got me into going first, because I wanted to look good. I wanted to feel good by looking good. But once we, you know, get into that internal feeling of that, I just, you know, wanted to grow from that. And finding more like-minded women that are also geared towards, we're here in this together, you know, let's all build our strength together and share this education with everybody, because it's just so important.
Isn't it funny how the pursuit of strength tends to also take care of the aesthetic part anyway, at least.
It does. Unless it really does.
Is like outrageously off track.
Yeah, no, and it really does. Like, I never in my life thought that I would be as strong as I was. You know, and even I had my class, we had a session this morning, and the women there this morning, same way, were like, I never thought that I would be able to deadlift that much weight in my life. I never thought I could pick up that much weight. And it's like, you know, we're a lot more stronger than we're capable of, but building on that strength, you know, it's just so amazing. Like, the aesthetic does come with it.
Yeah. That's funny. Actually, a lot of people that come into our program already having you know, decent length and background and strength, they are always like, oh, it's too easy because we do upper lower splits instead of, like you mentioned, a lot of people do the bodybuilder sort of type split. Did you find that that was the case when you started? You thought, oh, this is easy, but then.
At first I did. I also think, you know, that part of me was overtraining. And here I was doing, you know, 16 sets of chest in a week, you know, which I think is an overkill for me, you know, personally. And it's not my personal goal to go out and to do a show or to be a bodybuilder type thing. Like I said, I'm in it for the strength part of it. And so I wanted to kind of see the mix up of it. But once I've gotten into it and building from it, I'm like, holy cow, this is kicking my butt. it's definitely, you know, especially that first week that we did it and I added in did that fifth day this time around, you know, I think the first round I did was back in January and we just had the 4 days. We didn't have that optional fifth day, but this one was that optional fifth day. Yeah. Just, it really, really was challenging. So, I think at first, you know, whenever we were first starting the programs, which I like that we're doing 2 to 3 sets in the first couple weeks to get used to the movement, to find your flow through the gym, which that's a big thing too for a lot of beginners, is finding your flow through the gym. But just getting used to the movement, finding out what weights work good for you, is a good way to start building from that instead of just bam, jumping right into it and kind of overkilling yourself in the first week of a 12-week training program.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the times if someone starts off a little too strong, that first week feels like torture and then they're less likely to continue. So we think it's a good idea to start a little bit slower. It also gives the last round a little bit of a deload before they jump back into that heavy stuff too.
Yeah.
So with the CrossFit thing, the one thing that's really cool about CrossFit is that the community that it creates. Do you think that because women are sort of a little bit more involved in strength training, that there's also that community within gyms?
You know, I think there can be. I don't feel the camaraderie as much as there was in CrossFit, just because I feel like, I mean, in CrossFit, it tends to be like, here's your class, here's everybody working together, and we're all competing for time. Whereas, you know, you go to just, you know, a regular lifting gym, gym I work out at now, I'm a 5 a.m.er, and there are not maybe one other woman that comes in that early in the morning. There's another gym that I also, you know, I visit frequently too, but same thing. There's just not as many women that time in the morning. So my comparison for that's kind of hard, but even coming back later in the day and say I'm doing a personal training client, I do see one or two women maybe working out together, and then there might be another woman off on their own, but it seems like they're just crossing paths. I think they're doing separate programs and they might be doing it for separate reasons. We have, you know, power lifters in our gym, or we have, you know, somebody that's just doing it for strength, somebody that's just doing it for, you know, aesthetics as well too. So I think with everybody having different goals in mind, it's not quite as a camaraderie as CrossFit.
Yeah. Did you find that that was a reason that you wanted to start doing group training, like, you know, working with this group and then also doing it on your own?
Yes, absolutely. Like, I always have loved the group training aspect. I've done it, you know, like I said, I coached CrossFit, but then after that I had like a boot camp, where I did it like every 8 weeks. We would have 8 week sessions, take a week off, 8 week sessions. And it seems when everybody's in there for the same class and same type of modality, there seems to be more camaraderie. But this class that I have now, I have 4 women. Our gym's not a very big gym, so I limited it to 4 women plus a little bit more personalization, being able to watch them one-on-one with form, is a lot easier than trying to do it with 10 or 12 women if they were intermediate. But these women were more new to strength training and beginners. But they have been awesome. We are in our 6 week, I think 6 week. Yeah. And they are encouraging to each other. And, like I said, they're loving the program, and they're just astounded by just their own personal gains of how much I can lift. Look at what I can do. And I'm like, exactly. So I think it's just that's the feeling that I want, you know, women to have and to share, is just, you know, that feeling of being stronger and getting better, you know, each and each week. And I'm like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially as beginners. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it sounds cheesy, but that's definitely my favorite part of being a personal trainer. And it's nice that we can share with more people a community like that from online training, because online training wasn't really that big of a thing, you know, 5-10 years ago. So it's awesome that's an option as well. So we just wanted to know if there's anything about the program that you sort of had like questions about, like maybe something that you weren't getting out of it, or something that you were curious about.
No, I don't think so. I think I don't have questions about the program. I think, like I said, I think it's a really good program. I like what you said about coming right out of the gate, like we were talking about coming out of the gate, you know, really heavy, really fast. Because of course, that's usually my train of thinking of how I like to train, is just, let's just get in there and get it done. But I like the way that we kind of ease into it. So there are some humbling movements where I've felt myself to like, okay, you need to take it back a notch and maybe slow down your time under tension, and not so much, you know, trying to push through, you know, you can lift that weight. Now maybe try to drop it by 5 pounds and do it for, you know, a 5 second count or a 4 second count, you know, to kind of do that. But I do like the length of the program too, because like I said, about every 3 to 4 weeks is when I like to change things out. Usually it just kind of depends on scheduling, and like I usually like to try to schedule like a vacation after a program, so then that's my deload time, to rest and recoup, or to take it easy, you know, after that time. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like the reps in reserve, that was kind of a newer thing to me back in January when I got into the first program. It was a different element for me to kind of follow, because the way I was training, you know, it kind of depend on that 8 to 10 rep range, but it was to failure. And I feel like that was a lot of that's taxing. I mean, very taxing on your body. Like it was, there was days where you just didn't want to move.
I think a lot of it is just not always living on the bleeding edge of failure for most of the sets across most of the exercises. And quite frankly, there's certain exercises that I don't recall almost ever deliberately taking a client to failure on, like Romanian deadlifts. I'm not in the habit of going, all right, let's see if we can take your hamstrings or your glutes to failure. Oftentimes people will have to, okay, I the bar is going to slip out of my head, so I have to re-rack it. But is that actual mechanical failure of the target muscles? No, right? So there's that. But if we're always living in that kind of intensity, there's a lot of argument about within strength training as a whole, what matters more, volume of training, intensity. There's different camps. And the answer is not one or the other. It's
right.
Volume of intensity. But there's a certain amount that seems to be great for training stimulus. And then when you go beyond, especially if you're really intense, really, really a lot of failure training, you probably don't need as much of it, right? The pure volume junkies, they aren't necessarily right, especially if they're always leaving 4 to 5 reps in reserve. But there's another dimension that I think some people miss. A lot of times people talk about the efficiency of being in the gym, but that's actually not everybody's value. There's so many people, I'm probably one of them, that time in the gym, we may have a little bit more room in our schedule and we simply enjoy it. So I'm someone who, when I'm firing on all cylinders, I like being in the gym 6 days a week for probably an hour and a half a time. I'm not going to go like 90 seconds rest between sets, everything failure that much across a week. That most people can't tolerate that amount.
Right. Exactly.
So longer rest breaks, train hard. Not everything's always crushed to failure, because a lot of it's actually for my mental health and being in that space. It's not just about squeezing efficiency out of my time so that way this is this chore and I go on with life. Being in the gym is part of my life. And it's, I think, something that gets lost when people start arguing over, you know, what's the most efficient way to use your time. It matters for some people. Young parents, like my God, someone who's taking an hour lunch break plus travel time, that stuff starts to matter. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Because you're on both sides of this equation.
Yeah. You know, my kiddo, she's grown and out of the house now. So now, you know, I do find that I do have plenty of time to do what I want in the gym. But I think about that a lot when, I have clients, or even when I have to take, when I take my lunch break to go train a client, and just getting in that amount of time, the amount of, like you said, the amount of volume or intensity in that time. However, I don't want to push a client to the point where every workout is so intense that they are just beyond, you know, taxed, that they don't, you know, they're calling me, you know, 2 days later going, can I skip today's workout and just come like in a couple days? You know, I don't want that. And I don't want to feel that way either. I like to go to the gym too. I am a daily gym creature habit. Everybody will tell you it is my mental place of release and clarity. And it's for my emotional and mental well-being as well. So for me to go in there and just give it 110% each time, would be completely draining by the end of the week, to where I wouldn't want to do anything. And that's not what I want to do. My goal is to train, to get strong during the week. On the weekends, I have the weekends off. I want to go hiking and backpacking and, you know, doing all the fun outdoors things. That's why I train, is to be able to do those things. And so that's what I want, people to be able to do, is, you know, let's train for what you're wanting for, train for life. We don't have to be intense. We don't have to be crazy. We don't have to push it yourself to the edge each time, but we do need to be progressive. And so I do give my clients and even my class that I'm teaching now different ways of being progressive. I'm telling them, you know, you don't have to add weight onto your bar, or you don't have to pick up bigger dumbbells each time you come to the gym. Let's add one more rep. Let's add time under tension. So let's maybe do like a tempo movement where you're, you know, doing a three lower count, and then you got to come up three, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, like last week I could do that with 15 pounds, you know, just repping them out. Now I have to go down to 10. I'm like, yeah, it's a different type of intensity, but you're still getting that strength building part in there, because you're changing up your how you progress. Adding in an extra set, you know, or like with my program too, I started them off with two sets of everything. So we went through and did two sets of everything, did the movements, make sure that they moved right, found some good weights. The next week we did those same two sets, but we added weight just a little bit. Third week we added a third set to some of the exercises, two on each. So it wasn't just a jump in like, you, here's a set, black and white, how to do it. But teaching people, yeah, if you have a short amount of time, then, you know, then you're going to want to get in, you know, shorten up your sets, three sets, let's do it, you know, let me help you structure it this way. And then let's have a timer on your phone so that we can, or on my phone, so that we can get through your rest periods if they're on that time crunch.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? I've got one if Bailey doesn't have any more.
All right.
What would you say to someone who, as an enthusiast for resistance training, and suddenly starts thinking about wanting to coach other people? You do it as a part-time add-on to your career, right? Mm-hmm. Other people will do a full-time switch. What would you say to the person who's thinking about it and wants to help other people? Because they want to share how good it's been to them.
Well, like I said, my big thing is education. There's a lot of education material out there, and making sure that you go to the right credited education, as well too. So, finding those national or internationally recognized, certifications are a big thing. I have my ACSM, which was one of the hardest ones to get, but there's also all that continuing education as well. And to be open to learning, be coachable, even yourself as a coach, is a huge thing. You know, take information and advice from other accredited coaches, and learning from them as well. I don't think there is just one set way of being fit and healthy. Be open-minded to what your clients want. Listen to your clients. I mean, I think a big part of it too is the psychology behind it too with our clients is finding out what they want, finding out what motivates them, finding out what's getting in their way of getting to the gym. Why can't you make it to the gym? Is it time? Are you feeling self-conscious? And I think, as a coach, finding those things out, you have to be personable. You really do have to be personable, and you have to listen to your clients and take what they have as things to learn from and things to grow from, and not always knowing the answers. Sometimes I have to tell my clients, you know what? I'm like, I don't really know how to answer that, but let me go find out for you.
Best answer, as opposed to pretending like you do know it all.
true.
We really appreciate you coming on. We're really grateful you've been part of our program. Yes. And we're excited to see how everybody enjoys the rest of this round. Yep. So thanks for taking the time to come on and chat with us. Everybody listening, we really appreciate you guys as well. Thank you. Or if you're watching the video in our Facebook group. And just thank you, guys. We'll be back, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, with another guest next week. And we'll go from there. Thank you so much.
All right.